everyone, welcome to She Reads. This is she, Alma Limon. Thank you for tuning in. Today, I prepared an episode about Napoleon Bonaparte, but not the one presented in history books. No. In this episode, we're going to talk about Napoleon as a lover. We're going to answer questions like, how was it possible that the same man who was literally, and I mean literally, conquering the world, was at the same time sending desperate letters to his wife, Josephine, telling her he was nothing if she didn't love him back? And the most important question of them all, was he really that short? Just kidding. But before we get to that, I do want to bring a bit of background history just to make sure we know the context in which all of this was going on, and also a little background info on our good Bonbon. I'm going to call him Bonbon because it's my podcast and I can do that. So Bonbon was born in the island of Corsica in 1769. As a boy, Napoleon attended school in France, where he learned the French language and went on to graduate from a French military academy in 1785. The army commanded by him is known as the Great Army, and he led it to a series of historic victories that gave the French Empire an unprecedented grip on power over the European continent. So, how did a guy, because at the end of the day, we need to remember that historical figures are humans, which is mind-blowing to me sometimes, especially coming from a boy that was not even born into a rich family or royalty, managed to conquer almost the entire European continent. So I obviously did my research, but I wanted to know a lot of his personality, like how was he, or anyone for the matter, but especially how was he able to do that? So I read a bunch of websites talking about, you know, Napoleon's personality and, you know, how he was a little bit narcissistic and all of that, that I guess it's kind of not very revolutionary. Like, you have to be a little bit of a narcissist if you call yourself an emperor. But whatever. So what I found very interesting is I was reading and I again stumbled upon this website, and it said that one of the reasons that he was so good when it came to, you know, war and battles, it was that he was able to compartmentalize his mind. And I read, even in the midst of a very stressful campaign, he could put the present situation behind him and think with incredible clarity about another separate issues. And this is funny because when you read the letters he writes to Josephine, he says, and I read, in the midst of my duties, whether I am at the head of my army or inspecting the camps, my beloved Josephine stands alone in my heart, occupies my mind, feels my thoughts. So, debatable. But more on Napoleon's neediness later. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. So, Bonbon, hugely popular among the masses. Napoleon also carried out various reforms, including the implementation of the Napoleonic Code, a legal code which was a model for many countries across the world. And there is something important to be said about the Napoleonic Code, and it is how female equality received a setback. For instance, the code ensured that married women in particular owed their husband obedience and were forbidden from selling, giving, or buying property. And it said that the husband owes protection to his wives and the wife owes obedience to her husband. With this in mind, maybe this is why he was so obsessed with making Josephine, his first wife, love him, because how was he supposed to stand by statements like women ought to obey when he couldn't even make his own wife write him back? But anyway, in 1804, he declared himself the Emperor of France. Apparently, imposter syndrome was not a thing back then. Must have been great. Can't relate. So Josephine was 32 years old and mother of two children when she met 26-year-old Napoleon in 1795. They get married a year later, and 2 days after the wedding, he leaves to Italy to keep, you know, conquering the world, literally. So now I am going to read parts of a couple letters written between those years when Napoleon was in Italy. This book is called Letters from Great Men and Women. I've read this book before. Not last episode, but the one before was about George Sand. And now we're going to talk about Napoleon. So let's start reading. 49, if you want to follow up. I feel like a teacher, but okay. So this was written to Josephine at Milan, sent from Verona, 13 November 1796. And it says, "What do you do then all day, madame? What matter of such importance is it that takes up your time from writing to your very good lover? What affection stifles and pushes on one side the love, the tender and constant love, which you have promised him? Who can be this marvelous, this new lover who absorbs all your instants, your entire days, and prevents you from being solicitous about your husband? Josephine, beware, one fine night the doors will break open and I will be there. In truth, I am anxious, my good ami, at not receiving your news. Write me quickly 4 pages and say those amiable things which fill my heart with sentiment and pleasure. I hope before long to press you in my arms and shall shower on you a million burning kisses as under the equator. Bonaparte." Okay, so I have a lot to say about this one. First of all, sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. First of all, that line, the first line, "What matter of such importance is that takes up your time from writing to your very good lover?" I think that if we refresh this sentence in today's version, that would be something like, "What are you doing that you're not answering my texts?" And I feel like we tend to answer that question ourselves, as Napoleon does here when he says, "Who can be this marvelous new lover who absorbs all your instants?" And I feel like we do that too. Like, that's like our first thought. Okay, this person is not answering, so who is he actually answering to? And even when he says, "In truth, I am anxious not receiving your news," I feel like anxiety is the mother of conspiracy theories. And for me, personally, let's get personal over here. I feel like I'm going to get super personal in this episode, which I haven't in a long time. I feel like I just got really personal my very first episodes, and then I just kind of stopped talking about myself that much because I don't know why I did that, but let's do it. So for me, it can go two ways. A, I start making up excuses for the person, like, "He must be so busy right now," or "He's going through a lot right now," or whatever that is. This happens generally if I really like the person and I just don't want to admit that he's not that into me. Or number two, I just go directly to, "Oh, there must be somebody else he's talking to. There must be a lot of somebody else's he's talking to. Blah, 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 blah." And I just think it's, I want to say wonderful because I do find it very funny, but I just think it's incredible how we can read a text and get mad or pissed or sad by the tone of the message or the lack of actual text on the message and make up an entire novel on what is happening. And it is so hard to draw a line between what we objectively know and what we can just assume. But back to history, Josephine was actually cheating on him and everyone found out, and it was very embarrassing to poor Bonbon, which at the end of the day, I think that that more than his heart getting hurt, it was his ego that got hurt because, again, he was the emperor of France. Anyway, so let's keep reading Napoleon's letters. "I have not spent a day without loving you. I have not spent a night without embracing you. I have not so much as drunk one cup of tea without cursing the pride and ambition which forced me to remain apart from the moving spirit of my life. What were you doing that you failed to write to your husband? My spirit is heavy, my heart is fettered, and I am terrified by my fantasies. You love me less, but you will never get over the loss. But you will get over the loss. Oops. One day you will love me no longer. At least tell me Then I shall know how I have come to deserve this misfortune. Farewell, my wife, the torment, joy, hope, and moving spirit of my life, whom I love, whom I fear, who fills me with tender feelings which draw me close to nature, and with violent impulses as tumultuous as thunder. I ask of you neither eternal love nor fidelity, but simply truth, unlimited honesty. The day when you say, I love you less, will mark the end of my love and the last day of my life. If my heart were base enough to love without being loved in return, I would tear it to pieces. Josephine, Josephine, remember what I have sometimes said to you? Nature has endowed me with a virile and decisive character. It has built yours out of lace and gossamer. Have you ceased to love me? Forgive me, love of my life. My soul is racked by conflicting forces. My heart, obsessed by you, is full of fears which prostrate me with misery. I am distressed not to be calling you by name. I shall wait for you to write it. Farewell. If you love me less, you can never have loved me. In that case, I shall truly be pitiable. Bonaparte. Okay, so one thing that really just caught my attention, now that I'm reading the letter for like the 15th time, it was that part when he says, where is it? I just wanted to give you something to think about, and maybe you can answer to me via Instagram. It says, if you love me less, you can never have loved me. And I don't know, I would just, because for me, in my mind, I think it's normal to stop loving people or love them less. I think like it's normal. Like, that doesn't mean you never love them, but I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know. Anyway, going back to the episode. So I guess that at the end of the day, he is so concerned about not receiving the same amount of love. So he's like measuring love, saying things like, you love me less, you should write me 4 pages, like I write to you these long letters and I receive nothing or very few in return. And he's definitely not looking to give love, just to receive love. And I think that that right there is already wrong. I think that if we measure the love we receive, we're never going to feel loved. Wait, can I just say that I've never in a million years thought that I would be analyzing Napoleon, like Napoleon, Napoleon's love life, but okay, whatever. So yeah, again, I think that he did. He measured the love he was receiving and he was never fulfilled. Like when he says, write to me 4 pages quickly. But I mean, can I say that I'm not guilty of measuring love? Meh. I think that we measure love when we give too much importance to this little rules, like who is texting first, and we pay too much attention to how long does that person takes to answer, how long is that text, how often does he call. But again, we all give love in different ways, and that is why there is not like a universal unit to measure it. And if we do measure it, we will never get enough from the other person, and that is when we come off as clingy and needy and desperate and all the above. But I mean, obviously I cannot compare myself with Napoleon. Like, and that is exactly what blows my mind, that Napoleon, aka Bon Bon, had everything else going on for him. I get it when someone, you know, doesn't love me back and I feel like crap because I don't have at least that kind of professional part of my life figured out yet. So when my love life crumbles, I feel like, honestly, everything in my life is wrong. Because to be completely transparent, and this is painful to say, but I'm going to say it, ouch, here it comes. Sometimes I feel like this romantic tension / attention is all I have, or like the only entertainment that I have. And when I don't have that, I get really pissed and sometimes even sad. But something that I have learned is that my life is not going to be perfect just because I am in a romantic relationship with someone. That someone is not going to solve all my other issues, and I shouldn't expect them to. That someone is not going to make me get that promotion at work that person is not going to get me a job. That person is not going to make my boss any nicer. And at the end of the day, I feel like Napoleon and me, we have in common that instead of thinking how we can be loved better and what can we do in order to deserve that love that we so desperately, we know, are asking for, we just focus on people loving us. And, you know, this is a hard question, obviously, and I don't have the answer for it, you know, to how do we make ourselves worth loving. I truly don't know, but I think a good starting point is to know what to look for in a relationship. I think that what we should be looking for is joy and obviously love, but not someone to make us whole. However, though, I would like to give props to BombBomb because he was never afraid to ask for what he needed, even if it was a little too much, in my opinion. And what he wanted, that was a problem for me also, though, that it was all about what he wanted and what he needed. And I never once saw a line where he wrote to her, like, how are you feeling? What are you feeling? What do you need? Like, I think it was always all about him and how does Josephine made him feel. And it was very narcissistic, but whatever. But here's where I get a little bit conflicted because, you know, BombBomb was never afraid to ask for what he wanted and he needed. And I feel like sometimes we do. And we feel like if we ask for something, whatever that might be, we are going to come off as being too much to handle or hard to love or an inconvenience, and no one wants to date an inconvenience, that's for sure. But I believe that we should feel safe when we tell our significant other or even our friends what we expect from the relationship, as long as those expectations are not crazy. And you know, if that person is unwilling to give to you what you want, they can tell you before it hurts more. They can tell you before they show you. So, yeah. But on the other hand, when you're super needy and clingy and demanding, for me, it speaks of an insecurity coming from you that I personally don't want to tap into. I am not a fixer, as a lot of people are. And this is when it got really interesting for me, because I was just reading this letter for fun, because that's what I do for fun. I clearly need friends in quarantine to be over. But I was reading this letter for fun and I posted it on my Instagram, and I said something like, oh, Napoleon, so clingy, so needy, I love it. And someone replied to me, a follower replied to me and said, what are you talking about? I think he's so romantic. And I was like, maybe it's me and maybe my perception of love is fucked. And I mean, it is, but I posted it again and I asked to my other followers if they thought this letter was romantic or if it was kind of like needy or desperate. And actually 60-something percent of my following said that it was romantic. So I was like, maybe something's wrong with me. But so yeah, I want to know what you guys think about this. Was BombBomb overly romantic? Is there something wrong about being overly romantic? Do we not know how to appreciate romantic gestures? So let me know. I will leave my socials down below in the show notes. But yeah, so I saw this post on Facebook. Like, this was before, but I remembered it because of this letter. And I saw this post on Facebook written by a friend, and he says something along the lines of, when a guy is romantic, he comes off as intense, as a weirdo, gay, clingy, and women be like, I need a real man, I like bad guys. And I personally don't, as I said, I'm not a fixer, but I know this is a thing, this happens. And basically his whole thesis in that statement, aka Facebook post, was that we need to figure out ourselves out and our inner conflicts in order to be okay with the way someone wants to show us their love. So I guess this kind of resonates with what I've been saying about being conscious of how we love and what are we doing with that capacity and what are we attracting. I think every relationship we are in doesn't necessarily have to be romantic. It can be, you know, with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors. It's a reflection of who we are. So we just attract whatever it is inside us. So we need to make sure that we like that is, whatever it is inside us, we need to work and make sure that it's something that we like. And if we don't like that, we need to be willing to put in the work to change that before we're able to put the work to find somebody else, because that person is not going to do it. So, wow. Anyway, I am very like therapeutic today, I feel like. So anyway, to finish the episode, I think it's fair to tell how the relationship between Napoleon and Josephine went down, or rather how it ended. So I mentioned when Napoleon was in Italy and wrote these letters, Josephine indeed had lovers, and a letter that one of them sent to her, I don't think it was to her even, I think it was just a letter that this man sent to somebody else about the affair, you know, boys that kiss and tell, bad. Anyway, this letter was intercepted by the British and published widely. I don't know how widely something could be published back then, but that's what it says in the internet, so I'm gonna believe it. In order to embarrass Napoleon, and he was obviously Bonbon super embarrassed, and they ended up getting a divorce years later, but it was not about that, not because she cheated, and after she cheated, he cheated, and it was a mess, as we could have expected, but they actually got a divorce because Josephine couldn't have children, and therefore he needed an heir, obviously, like not him, like France, like he did it. He needed to have a child because France needed another Napoleon, a little Napoleon. So that's just a great excuse to break up. And allegedly, Napoleon's last words were France, the great army, and Josephine. So I mean, after Josephine, he got married again. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that was, like, you know, his first true love, and why not? And I'm going to go with that story that those were his last words. But, yeah, this was my little rambling. I'm a rambler, as you can tell. And just a little quickie history lesson about Napoleon and his love life, and I hope you liked it. If you did, let me know. Leave a review if you can. I am Alma Limon. Thank you again so much for tuning in. If you like this episode, send it to a friend, send it over, discuss it with a friend. That's cool. We love a good love discussion. We love talking about somebody else's relationships. So yeah, thank you again so much. That was my other computer dying on me, as always, as per usual, but it's fine. Okay, thank you so much. Bye. Ciao. Bye. Okay, bye.